Gift of the Father. 835.M30. 170 years before the betrayal at Istvan III. 1. The boy waited in the dark. The only light was the brief glare of a hatch opening when they brought him food. The light was bright, and he could not look at it without being blinded. After the hatch shut, he found the food by smell and ate it by touch. The light and the food were all he had to mark the passage of time in the cell. He kept count of both in his head. He had eaten 104 times and seen the light 108 times. The 4 times that the hatch had opened and no food had appeared had served no purpose that he could be certain of. Perhaps eyes had looked in at him. Perhaps it had some other meaning. Perhaps it had no meaning at all. He waited, slept, and explored the edges of the dark. The floor, walls, and ceiling were metal. Lines of rivets marked the seams between the slabs on the floor. There were 12,678 rivets. He had counted them all by touch. None of them were loose. The door had hinges only on the outside. The narrow hatch at its base was without crack or seam. The cell itself was a cube, twice the length of his body on each side. 2 small grates were set into the ceiling. A slow stream of air came from one, heavy with the smell of oil and machine fumes. The other covered a light, or at least he guessed that it did. These details never changed. The only thing that changed was the song of the walls. Sometimes the song was a low rumble, like the pulse of a machine. Sometimes the walls were silent. Sometimes they shook like the case of a chain gun as it fired. Each song came and went, sometimes lasting for an age, sometimes rising and falling away quickly. The first time the song came, he had beaten on the door and shouted. No one had come, and at last he had collapsed to the floor. When he woke next, the song had changed. He listened to it and waited. By the time he had eaten 104 times, the songs of the walls were almost all that he lived for. But they had gone silent now, and the hatch had opened 12 times since they had last sung. His latest bowl of food eaten, he fell asleep in the silence. When he woke, he was not alone. A man sat against the opposite wall. A battered metal bowl and a candle sat at his feet. A broken morsel of bread lay in the bowl. He was thin, his skin pocked by scars where smelting sparks had burned it. Black hair hung to his neck. There were patches of grey in the stubble that covered his face. He looked tired, but tough, like an old knife that was still sharp despite the notches in its blade. He looked like some of the gangers who the boy had grown up with. He looked like the home he had been taken from.
"You are not afraid," said the man, his voice rasping with pollution damage.
The boy shook his head, not sure if the man had been asking a question. The man brought up a hand and rubbed his right eye. Strands of tattooed feathers crisscrossed his fingers.
"Quite a thing, to be not afraid. Fear can be good. Keeps you alive. Keeps you sharp. But knowing what you are really afraid of, well, that is strength."
The boy looked at the man, taking in the marks which said to him that he was looking at someone who came from the Agate Vault. A gang boss, too, with both blood and power to his name.
"Why are you here?" said the boy at last.
The man shrugged.
"Why are you?"
The boy did not answer. The man picked up the bowl and held it out. The boy shook his head. The man shrugged again and put the bowl back down.
"You were in a gang, right?"
The boy hesitated and then shook his head.
"No."
The man raised an eyebrow, and the movement sent inked feathers ruffling across his skin.
"You look like you were to me."
The boy shook his head again, suddenly cold. He felt his fists tense. The man watched him for a second.
"Ah,"
said the man.
Yes, you're right. There's a difference, isn't there? Even if you ran with them, even if you took the marks and killed with them, if you kept something back, then you were not one of them.
The boy shifted, suddenly aware of the mottled burn scars on his hands and arms. The memories were suddenly bright in his head. The roar of shot cannons, the weight of knife and pistol, heavy in his hands. The gang warriors had called him Kai. He had accepted the name, just like he had accepted the food, and later the kill brands on his right hand and forearm. Those had not been marks of defeat, though. They were just the price for survival. The man gave a small smile and shook his head.
Living and not surrendering, even if those around you thought they had won. Live quick and sharp. That's right, isn't it? Give just enough and no more, and never let the pain break you.
The man nodded, his gaze steady.
Fast and quick and not afraid. What did you dream of? Never dreamed of dying? No. That would be surrender, wouldn't it? But maybe a dream of getting out of the dark and living without a knife as your pillow? Yes. That is an old dream. Old and false. Or maybe you thought that one day you could escape by being the one in charge. A few cuts here, some quick footwork there, and...
The man smiled and suddenly looked very old. Creases cut across the tattoos around his eyes.
And maybe you would have made it too. A gang of your own. A clan, even. But no one holds power forever. A bullet or a knife would have found you. And that would have been that.
They held each other's gaze, and Kai, for a second, felt very sorry for whoever the man was. There was a feeling of weight in his silence, like the pressure of unspoken moments piled up just before the present. The light of the candle somehow made the walls seem closer, but the ceiling further away, as though the walls just went up and up into the dark. If the man was a gang boss from Agate Vault, then he could have been taken at the same time as the boy. He had not seen the giants in iron take anyone else. They had just swept through the sublevels, killing as they went. The boy had outrun them for 10 days, until there was nowhere left to run to. He had tried to fight them. It had not worked, but they had not killed him. A blow from one of the giants had sent him down into the dark of this cell. The boy shook his head slowly, licked his lips and spoke.
You're not really from the same place as me, are you?
He said to the man.
You look like you are. You talk like you are. But you're here for whoever took me.
He looked up at the man, eyes hard in the flame light.
I'm right, aren't I?
The man gave a small smile.
Sharp and quick, he said, and let out a breath. But no one put me in here, and I've been to where you came from. Even if I was not born there. I've seen the turf wars down under the smelting levels. I've been there when a bullet takes someone in the eye because they were too slow or too bold or just unlucky.
The man's eyes darkened as he spoke.
You are a liar,
said the boy carefully. The man laughed and the sound ricocheted around the cell.
In a sense,
he said.
In a sense, that is exactly what I am.
What do they want? Why am I here? Why did they send you?
They want you to become something that you cannot imagine, said the man softly. And I already said that no one sent me. I'm here because I wanted to be sure my choice was right.
He looked at the boy and nodded.
Still not afraid?
No,
said the boy, and for the first time there was an edge of defiance in his voice.
Everyone is afraid of something,
said the man.
I won't submit,
growled the boy. The man smiled. A tattoo of a hound snarled on his temple as the skin folded.
That is why I chose you, Kai,
said the man. The boy froze at the sound of his name. Needles of cold ran up his skin.
How...
he began to ask, but the cell door swung open with a clank of releasing bolts. Light poured in. The boy flinched back, hands covering his eyes. Heavy steps shook the floor, and a teeth-aching purr of machine power filled the air. The boy called Kai, tried to blink away the sudden blindness in his eyes.
Stand, said a voice.
He looked up, eyes stinging, moisture running down his cheeks. A golden giant stood above him, a bladed pole in one hand and a crimson cloak falling from its back to the floor.
Stand and follow, said the giant.
The boy could feel his heart hammering in his chest.
What are you afraid of?
Kai looked down past the golden figure to the other side of the cell where the man had sat. The space was empty.
What are you really afraid of?
He stood. His head barely came up to the golden giant's midriff.
What's going to happen?
He asked, his voice strong and clear. The giant placed a hand on his shoulder. The fingers were warm, like metal left out in the sun. Kai felt the power in the giant as he was turned and guided towards the open cell door.
You are going to meet your lord, said the giant,
as they walked out of the cell and into the light beyond. 2.
Kneel, growled the golden giant from behind him.
Kai did not move.
Kneel,
came the command again. Still, he did not move. He could not. He stood in a chamber of stone and black steel. It was as large as the largest vaults that he had seen beneath the smelting levels of his home. Glow globes hung from the beams that ran across the ceiling. Each shadow glinted with polished metal and shaped stone. It was the most incredible structure Kai had ever seen. But it was not the room that froze him in place. A figure looked up from a stone table at the room's center. He was tall, taller even than the golden giant, but with a bulk that was perfectly proportioned to his size. Power flowed through his smallest movement. He wore black robes edged with white fur. Dark eyes glittered in an unsmiling face of hard edges beneath a shock of white blonde hair. Strength spread from his gaze like furnace heat. Kai had never felt anything like it before, not running into the gunfire of rival gangs, not in the time he had strayed into the grounds of the Rust Cats or leapt a crevasse.
What?
Began Kai, the question catching on his tongue.
What are you?
The golden giant began to growl a rebuke, but a glance from the figure silenced the words.
What I am is a matter that I am still coming to understand. But who I am is a question I can answer. My name is Rogel, of the House of Dawn.
Kai blinked. Every part of his being was telling him to kneel, to swear allegiance and undying loyalty to the figure who stood before him. But he did not. He brought his palm up to his mouth and bit down. The tips of his teeth opened his own skin. His blood was a brief taste of iron on his tongue. He held his hand out, squeezing it into a fist. Red ran between the knuckles. Rogel Dawn watched the blood patter onto the stone floor. His expression did not change.
You offer your blood for what? He said, and his voice was cold. As surrender? As oath?
Kai shook his head, though every fibre of his being said to run.
As defiance,
said Kai, the words thin in his dry mouth. The drops of blood from his hand were slowing, and the pain from the bite was fading into a warm numbness. Rogel Dawn's eyes were fixed, unblinking and fathomless.
You are right not to kneel, said Dawn,
and he turned away. Kai felt something cold in his chest. His arm and bloody fist dropped slowly to his side. He blinked, suddenly unsure what had happened or what he felt. Rogel Dawn stepped back to the table at the center of the room and leant on it, eyes fixed on what lay on its surface. Golden armor lay on the black stone, Each section gleamed like the flicker of candle flames. Winged creatures, similar to those on the armored giant who still stood at his shoulder, covered its plates. Kai could see talons picked out in silver. Red gems gleamed from eyes set above sharp beaks. Rogel Dorn looked at the armor for a long moment and then picked up a gauntlet. He turned it over in his hands.
"Do you know what this is?" asked Dorn,
his eyes watching the light flow over the gauntlet. He looked at Kai, who shook his head.
"It is a gift. A gift from a father to a lost son. It is also a symbol of unity, of purpose, of change."
He put the gauntlet down on the table exactly where it had been.
"I am the son, and the father, whom I did not know until now, is the master of all mankind."
Kai frowned. He did not know exactly what Rogel Dorn was talking about. He had always known that there were places above and beyond the Hive's smelting strata and the warrens beneath, but he'd never seen them. He wondered again where he was and how far he had come from those familiar places.
"Gifts such as these have meaning," said Dorn, staring at the armor and then at Kai. "I was an emperor. I ruled chains of stars. But now I am to be something else. Now I am not to rule, but to conquer so that my father can rule. That is what this gift means."
He turned to Kai.
"You are also a gift. You were marked and taken when the emperor conquered your world. You would have gone on to serve him, but now are marked to be among the first of a generation of warriors raised under my command. You are intended to be a symbol of a new age."
Kai looked up into Rogel Dorn's eyes. They were as cold and unyielding as the stone beneath their feet.
"Are you going to refuse your father?" asked Kai.
Dorn shook his head.
"No. I gave him my oath when we first met," said Rogel Dorn,
and then paused. Kai looked at his bloody hand. The blood had started to clot and bind his fingers together. He looked up.
"You should have refused," said Kai.
He could feel his limbs shaking and fought to control them. A frown passed over Rogel Dorn's brows.
"Why?"
"Because defiance is all that life is."
Dorn's silence stretched on, and then he seemed to shiver.
"There is more to life than surviving," said Dorn.
Kai began to shake his head.
"I met my father, and I knew that I was no emperor. I knew what my oath to him meant."
Dorn pointed to Kai's bloody hand.
"I said that you should not have knelt. I said that because you do not know what I am. You do not understand what you would help create."
Dorn turned and began to walk across the chamber.
"There is something for you to see."
Kai hesitated for an instant and then followed. Behind him, the silent giant in gold followed too, the haft of his spear tapping on the floor. They came to a halt beneath the center of the vaulted ceiling. Dorn looked up and gestured with a nod. Kai followed his gaze. The engraved patterns on the bronze ceiling looked back. A low rumble filled the room, and then, one by one, the panels of the ceiling slid down into the walls. Kai stared. Light. Endless points of light scattered like frozen sparks, swirls of color like patches of rust on black iron. He fell to his knees, mouth open, unable to stop staring. In part of his mind, the old stories of sky and stars came back to him, and he knew that he was not looking at a myth or dream, but truth.
"This will be the domain of mankind," said Rogel Dorn. "This will be my father's gift to humanity."
He looked down at Kai.
"That is the purpose I was made for.